Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson for today seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Those words should be in your minds, upon your lips, and in your hearts. These are the Ten Commandments. They are given by God to Moses, to his people, to direct them in the way that they should live. We know these words. We are to have no other gods. We are to use his name correctly. We are to worship him. We are to honor those in authority. We are not to murder with our thoughts or with our hands. We are to be chaste in the way that we live as husband or wife or as unmarried. We are not to take that which is not ours. We are not to tell lies. We are not to desire that which God has not given. This is how God demands that his children live. Luther, in his explanation in the small catechism of each of these commandments, he gives us these words. We should fear and love God. Why? So that we don't do these sorts of things. So that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name. So that we do not despise preaching and his word. So that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities. So that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body. So that we lead a chaste and decent life in what we say and do. So that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way. So that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation. So that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house or get it in a way which only appears right. And so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's workers, wife, animals, or turn them against him. The close of the commandments in explanation in Exodus 20 gives us this. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, everything that I just gave to you are the negatives. These commandments dictate that this is the way we are called to live. And we are called to live that way perfectly. That's what God desires of us as his children. But guess what? God knows you can't do it perfectly. God knows that even though that's what he desires of you, we fail. And we fail him miserably. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing toward his glory. Apart from Christ, we are blind, dead, and enemies of him. But with Christ, there are positives in these commandments. Yes, we cannot fulfill them perfectly, and that is exactly why God sent his only begotten Son to suffer in our stead, to die the death that we deserve so that we might live. That's the linchpin. Faith in that sacrifice. Faith in the fact that God died to cover you with your sins. That his blood makes you righteous, not because you've earned it, not because you've deserved it, but because of his love. Paul writes to the Galatians, "For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Faith is the linchpin. Faith is what delivers us from being slaves to sin, slaves to the law. Now, in faith, we believe what Jesus Christ has done for us. And as we believe, we have been made his children. St. Paul wrote in our epistle lesson, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" By faith, you have been transformed. By faith, these commandments are still given to us, but for another purpose. Not that we might enter heaven by fulfilling them because we can't, but that we might know how God desires us to live, that others might see the faith that is evident in us, that others might see the joy that is evident in us, that others might see that Jesus is reigning on his throne. Jesus said very clearly, "Until all is fulfilled, not one jot or tittle will pass away. I have not come to destroy Moses and the prophets. I have come to fulfill for you and for me." And so now when we take a look at those commandments and we take a look at what Luther adds to each of those explanations, the parts that I left off as I was reciting them, now keep in mind that these are what the commandments mean to us. This is how it shows us to live. We are to call upon his name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. We are to hold his word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. We are to honor father and mother so that we may serve them and obey them, love and cherish them. We are not to murder so that we help and support our neighbor in every physical need. We are not to commit adultery so that we do lead a chaste and decent life in what we say and do, and that husband and wife love and honor each other. We are not called to steal. Rather, we are called to help our neighbor improve and protect his possessions and income. We are not called to tell lies about our neighbor to slander him, but rather we are called to defend our neighbor, to speak well of him, and to put the best construction on everything. We are not called to covet that which is not ours. Rather, we are to encourage. We are to help our neighbor in his house. We are to help and be of service to him in keeping it. And we are not called to covet that which else belongs to our neighbor, but rather we are called to urge them to stay and do their duty. And give consideration to Exodus 20. You heard the curse that is placed upon those who hate God, but hear the blessing that is placed on those who in faith love him. Showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Luther says that he promises grace in every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands. Faith is the linchpin. These commandments are what God desires of us. But knowing that we cannot perfectly fulfill them, he gives us grace. He's given us the gift of faith. And when we look at that, when we see that switch from the negative to the positive, that these are how we are called to live, it is like getting glasses for the first time when things were blurry. Now they have become clear. Now we can see what was in front of our face before, but we could not see it clearly. In this we see the love of God. When we look at the commandments, yes, we are shown how we are called to live. But we also see the cross of Jesus Christ. We see his death on our behalf. We see that his blood now covers us, that our robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and are made clean. Jesus has fulfilled the law on our behalf, so that we are no longer slaves to our sin, but slaves to him. That we are now workers for his kingdom. That we say, Lord, you have taken my heart, you have washed it, you have made it clean, you have given me a new heart, a heart of flesh that is living not for myself but for you. Create in me this clean heart, O God, and send me out to do your work, that others may see your love through me. Let us rejoice in this, because if it were up to us, we would fail. If it were up to us, we would end up in that hell of fire. But because of Christ, the new heavens and the new earth are awaiting us. So keep the faith. See it clearly, that your faith and your love, the love of God through you, may be shown to your neighbor. The church sings. We thank you, Christ. New life is ours. New light, new hope, new strength, new powers. This grace our every way attend, until we reach our journey's end. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.